Warren, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tess.
So to start off with, it's a fairly typical thing that people believe that the younger you teach someone a language, the better it is going to be for them in terms of learning it. Is that necessarily true?
It is a common thing, as you say, but no, it's not necessarily true. And the thing that makes a big difference is the way in which that language is taught, or, just put it the other way around, the way in which people are learning the language.
And so can you elaborate on that just a little bit?
Sure. So for very young children, as we know, like we all learnt a language, our first language, so for me, English, when we were kids, we didn't even have to try. We didn't have to go to classes. We just learnt it. And children have that capacity to pick up a language. But in order to do that, you need to be living in it. You need to be using it. You need to be exposed to lots of different, you know, parents reading their children's stories and kids playing with other kids and watching TV and all those sorts of things. So for little children to learn a second language, it needs to be the same kind of thing that's really going to engage them, really interesting things, using language in lots of different ways. Because little children don't learn very well if you sit them down in a classroom and say, now repeat after me, this is how you conjugate the verb to go in French or what have you. They don't have that kind of learning capacity in such a young age. So it needs to be that kind of let's have fun, but let's have lots of exposure to a language to learn. So in that sense, younger is definitely better. But if you're in a situation where you really can't provide that kind of exposure to rich language import, and you're going to have to sit the kids down in a classroom and teach them, here are the 100 words you need to learn this year, let's get started. It's really better to wait till the kids are older and they've actually developed that mental ability to be able to do that kind of thing. And that usually happens around about late primary, early high school, which is when a lot of people, certainly me, I'm not sure about you, actually did a language class. So later is better. And in actual fact, there's another whole approach to learning languages, which is where the individual, like a person, will say, you know what, I want to learn Spanish. I want to go to Spain for a, you know, holiday or something. And they'll get a program or an app or something like that and really drive their own learning. And that kind of skill develops much more when we become an adult. So, you know, for that kind of language learning, later is actually better.
And so are there some languages that are harder to learn than others, I suppose, especially for me, and it sounds like, I don't know, a lot of other people who do just speak English and wish they could speak another language but cannot.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. But they're difficult in different ways. So some languages have a fairly simple pronunciation pattern, whereas other languages have very complex pronunciation patterns. Some languages, for instance, Chinese, a very well-known world language, has different tones. And for English speakers, we don't have tones in English. So saying the same word with a different tone, changing the meaning, doesn't work for us. So that's something that's different. For some languages, it's actually the writing style, once again, Chinese or Japanese, which have all those thousands of different characters to learn to be able to read and write. That's a unique feature of the difficulty of language. So each language does have, no language is simple. They're all very, very complex. But what's actually difficult about language does change.
And it's funny that you mentioned Chinese there. I know that when I was in high school, that was the language that I was taught. We had two separate hour-long classes a week. And look, it did not stick. I was not very good at it.
And that's the thing. In order to make that work, there needs to be constant repetition so that you learn all of those rules and those rules become patterns. And twice a week really isn't enough. And also, if you're forced to do it rather than really, really want to do it yourself, then your brain's not really cooperating with yourself. And so it's not helping you learn those things. So that is very often an outcome. But the important thing, I think, to remember is actually becoming fluent in the language is not the only benefit of trying to learn another language. There's lots of other benefits as well. You get to think about different ways of thinking, different cultures, different what's important in Chinese is not what's important in English, which reflects a different value system. So it kind of broadens your thinking. And there's quite a lot of research that shows that learning a language actually stretches your brain as well and actually develop different pathways in the brain that make us more lateral, more creative thinkers, which is a great thing. Even if you never use the language again, if you're able to be more creative in your thinking, that's a great outcome too.
Stretches the brain. That's such Absolutely. A good description of it, I think.
Yeah, it's like just as long as it doesn't hurt.
Yeah. Well, like I, from my experience, as I said, learning Chinese, I cannot say that it did not always hurt, but that's okay. We yeah. move on.
Yeah.
So obviously, as I mentioned before, I suppose, you know, the two classes a week, it's not going to be enough. And you have mentioned previously, the more you can immerse someone in a language, the better it's going to be.
Yeah.
But is there, I guess, a minimum time spent that it's going to make learning a language easier for you?
Mm. Well, if we go back to children again, there's a lot of talk around Australia at the moment about we should, all of our children should be learning a language from prep or from grade one, for instance. Now, as an applied linguist and language teaching and language learning is my field, I'm very excited to hear that. But what we need to think about is how we're going to do it. How are we going to provide that kind of rich input? To be completely fluent, like if you want to raise a child as a bilingual, completely fluent bilingual, it's very difficult. Every child is different and every context is different. But just as a rough guess, you need to spend about a third of your waking hours in that language. So that's a pretty high benchmark for someone. If I really want my child to be fluent in both English and Chinese, for instance, then at least if they're in Australia, well, they're going to get the third in English. That'll be no problem. So a third of their waking time in Chinese, how am I going to achieve that? It's a big, big ask. But that's for complete fluency. And there's a whole heap of ranges from knowing a few words up to completely fluent. So really, the more, the better.
Well, Warren, I've definitely learned something today. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's been my pleasure, Tess.